something for the weekend on Saturday. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. I'm delighted to have Samantha King on the show today. Now, Samantha, you say you're Samantha when you're in trouble, but we'll call you Samantha today. I've been following your Instagram, which is just an incredible story. The Instagram, by the way, if you want to have a look, Samantha King King Hair. Tell me all about it and about your journey in the last while.
Hi, Trina. Thank you so much for having me. So basically, I decided, well, it's a good while ago now, actually, that I wanted to go down the route of having a gastric bypass. So I had tried probably every Monday since I was maybe 14 or 15 to diet. And I honestly just never had any success. I joined every slimming club known to man and tried every cabbage soup diet, and I just never ever could seem to make any difference weight wise. I would play with the same stuff over and over and over, and as the years went on, you know, the weight just increased and it just kind of went up until maybe 2 years ago. I just woke up one day and thought, okay, this actually feels unmanageable. You know, I had gotten to a stage where I was really starting to feel it, climbing the stairs, and I'm a really active person. I own my own business. I'm constantly on the go, and I just was kind of struggling to keep up with the pace that I wanted to go at.
Yeah.
And I just started to research gastric bypass surgery. Now, at the time, I felt, God, this isn't for people like me. Sure, this is crazy. And I would like to think that in my normal day-to-day life, I'm a fairly practical person. But I just couldn't seem, this is one area of my life that I had to put my hand up and say, I need a bit of help with this. This has gone kind of unmanageable for me.
Can I ask you, Samantha, how much weight you'd put on at that point when you really started thinking, do you know what, the diets and just doesn't work for me?
I haven't disclosed my weight anywhere yet, but, you know, I've lost almost 11 stones. So that'll give you an idea.
Right, yeah.
When you have a look at me, where I kind of would have been at, that I had 11 stones to lose.
Okay.
My weight was very, very high, and in particular my BMI and stuff like that. I started to kind of fear for my health. So in my day-to-day life, I would like to think that most of the time I'm trying to be fairly glam, and I'm in the hair and beauty industry, so I like to kind of keep up, and I love fashion and stuff like that. But it was a struggle. It's really hard to buy clothes in a size 28, I can tell you. Yeah. And that's where I was when I decided that I wanted to have the surgery. At that stage, like, I hadn't shopped in normal, well, not normal stores, but I mean high street shops. I was confined to online only, because that's the only place that I could find fashionable plus size clothing for a size 26, 28, you know, that yeah. kind of size range.
You know, when you love clothes and you love fashion, it really takes the joy out when you realise you can't really get anything that's going to fit you.
Well, you know, you're at the stage then where you're buying it because it fits.
Yeah.
Not because it's a nice shape or a nice pattern or a nice style or whatever it is. It's literally a functional item. Mm-hmm. And I love fashion, so I found that kind of difficult. And obviously, wearing heels becomes much more of a difficult task for you, because you're already feeling the pressure of the weight, never mind kind of going around on stilts. It makes it so much harder.
Yeah. In your business as well, you're on your feet a lot of the time. So how would you manage holding that weight?
Yeah, I would be running around a lot, and you know, we've a couple of different stores now, so I'm constantly on the go, and I'm in Dublin, I'm back in Wicklow, and, you know, I'm working long hours and stuff like that. So I would say that probably the big issues for me were around being unorganized, not prioritizing myself. I could tell you a time in my life when I hadn't graced the doors of a supermarket for maybe 12 months.
Wow.
You know, because I never prioritized, say, the weekly shop, or making sure that I had breakfast in the morning. My goal was to get out the door and into the office as fast as I could. And then in the evening, the goal was to work on late. And then at that stage, I would be ravenous and just be like, oh, I'll just get the takeaway. Sure, it's grand. But at that stage, you're consuming 2,000 or 3,000 calories at maybe 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night and getting into bed. And it was just a really unhealthy kind of way to live. But I was, you know, I had only started my business 3 years ago, and I was really passionate about it, and I was trying to grow it, and that was my priority. And then before that, I actually worked in corporate law for years, and that was a whole stream of kind of being in the car and, again, busy all the time and not prioritizing myself. And I never kind of made the time to go for the walk and maybe to let my mind rest and stuff like that. So I think just unhealthy living, unhealthy lifestyle had kind of got me to where I was.
It's funny you say that, Samantha, because so many people will also be able to identify with this. They say, well, I don't actually eat anything during I don't eat much at all during the day. Yeah. How am I this weight? And it's because of that, because your blood sugars and everything, your metabolism obviously isn't getting any food. You're not getting breakfast, you're not getting your lunch, and then you're starving by the evening time and you're just grabbing whatever. In your mind, you kind of think to yourself, but sure, I haven't had anything all day, so it's okay to have whatever now. And that's the problem.
100%. Mm. And when you're working hard, and, you know, I'm sure it's for the same for anybody who's out working or a stay-at-home mom, and they're trying to get the kids organized and they're making sure that they are fed well and they're getting the fruit and they're getting the porridge and doing all those things, you're not prioritizing yourself. You're prioritizing everybody else around you or the home or your business or, you know, whatever it is that you do that kind of makes you super busy. So I really took the time before my operation. Like, anybody that asks me, what should I do to prepare? Should I cook food? Should I do whatever? And I always say, no, you need to sit down and say, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And why is this going to be successful for me? How am I going to change? Because I remember someone saying to me years ago, if you always do what you always did, the result will always be the same. Yeah. So you have to change something. And that's what I did. I had to change. Whereas before, I wouldn't have made the time to go to the supermarket. I wouldn't have made time for the walk. I wouldn't have allowed myself headspace or time off, things like that. I would have thought, oh, if I do that, it's going to fail. You know, that would have been my attitude. Whereas now I know that the bypass will fail for me if I don't give it that time. Because at the end of the day, it's only a tool. It's only a tool. It's not a cure. So I can eat crisps and chocolate and all of those slider foods. I can eat them till cows come home. It's protein and good real food that my restriction is with. And this is typical for most people that have a gastric bypass. So unless you go in with the correct mindset, and like I really gave myself the time beforehand to be like, this is like drastic measure. So this has to work for me. Yeah. I wrote down a list of why I was doing it, the pros, the cons, all of that kind of thing. And like, it's important for me to say, I wasn't sitting at home crying about this. You know, I wasn't sitting there feeling like the biggest girl in the room or what. I really wasn't feeling like that. It was definitely a health motivated decision for me. Mm-hmm. I was afraid of the things that were coming for me. And when I actually had my blood done beforehand, I was actually diabetic and I didn't even know. But it explains why I was so tired and all of those things. And 3 months later, when I had my blood done, I wasn't diabetic anymore.
Samantha, will you hang on there a sec? We're going to go for a quick song and come back to you because we want to get into the nitty gritty of the actual operation and what that entails and that. So hang on there a sec. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits. Something for the Weekend. Good morning. We're in the middle of speaking to the fabulous Samantha King from Samantha King Hair. And if you follow her on Instagram, her name there is Samantha King King Hair. And you'll know her because she has been basically sharing her gastric surgery journey with us all. A very glamorous Samantha, working in there, of course, King Hair and Beauty. So the pressure, I guess, was on for you to look a certain way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, that's kind of just who I am. Like, I feel good when I get up in the morning and put on the dress and put on the tights and put on the heels and off I go. That is definitely what makes me feel good in the morning when I get up. But it's really hard to do that when you're that size that I had reached, like a 28 or whatever. I found it very, very difficult just to get clothes and I suppose to have the energy to get up and do that in the morning. And for me, that was a real turning point for me because I felt like it was kind of changing who I am. And I just really didn't want to go down that road.
Now, you mentioned there a few minutes ago how you tried every diet and nothing worked. You finally came to the conclusion that gastric surgery might be the way to go. And I suppose for years and years, like a lot of us never knew anybody who'd had this done. It was a really kind of American thing, you know, for people who were super, super, super obese and couldn't even get up in the morning. But then it became more widespread and we saw more smaller people getting it done. Can you talk talk us through then how you came to research this and what the operation entailed.
Yeah, sure. So by the time that I got to my GP, I suppose, to talk to her about it, I had really researched it extensively on the internet and my mind was made up and I was ready to go 100%. Once I make my decision, that's it, I'm good to go. So I went to my GP and I said to her, look, this is a huge struggle for me and this is something that I really want to go for. And she said to me, I'll be totally honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about this, but I can see that you have researched it and I will help you along any way I can. Is there someone that you'd like me to refer you to? And I said to her, look, I think this is the person to go to just for my research. So that's kind of how it all started. Unfortunately, COVID was taking hold at that stage. And it took a long time for me to get in to even meet the consultant. Now, I believe that the times have cut back a little bit now, but this is an issue in Ireland because there are very few surgeons doing this surgery here. Yeah. So you will hear of a lot of people going abroad first. I had mine here in Ireland. I had it in Dublin. And it was just a fantastic service with the guys there from start to finish. They give you kind of dietitian support because I think there's a huge piece around education and stuff. But because it's a gastric bypass, you do have malabsorption of vitamins and minerals for life. So that is something that you need to undertake to supplement for the rest of your life. Okay. And they'll monitor your blood every kind of couple of months for the first 2 years. And then it should kind of balance out and you should be fine. I went in for the surgery and basically what it does is it reduces the stomach down to about the size of an egg cup. That's all that the stomach can hold at that stage. And that's how you get this drastic weight loss. So in the 6 months since my surgery, I have lost, well, 6.5, nearly 7 months, I have lost almost 10 stone. Wow. And I had to do an LRD, which is a liver reduction diet, because the liver sits in front of the stomach. And in order to move the liver out of the way safely, you need to do this kind of quick diet beforehand to reduce it down so it can be done safely. And I'd lost a stone on that. So since kind of the last 7 months or whatever, I'm technically down 11 stone, but 10 since the day of my operation.
Oh my
God. So it's just completely life changing, as you can imagine.
Your photos on Instagram are just unbelievable. Like,
you're so much
a supermodel now. It's just, it's
Stop.
Incredible.
Oh my God,
what can
all,
you eat, Samantha? Tell us this much, because I wonder about this, you know, do you feel like you're missing out sometimes?
Not at all. I have to be honest with you. So when you go to the stage of being like super obese, which I was, when you're eating food, in my case, and lots of the women that I talk to online, they will say that the enjoyment is gone. Because when you're eating the food, you're just thinking, why am I doing this? I'm hurting myself. This is not good. I'm going to be up again in the swimming club this week or whatever it is. And it's just a constant guilt of the food passing your lips. Whereas when I've had this operation now, if I really fancy something, I can have it, but I know I can only have a small controlled portion of it. I can't have loads. And also some foods afterwards don't suit you and you can get something called dumping syndrome. So if you consume like too much fat or too much sugar, you might start to feel unwell for a couple of minutes and then it passes, but it certainly acts as a bit of a deterrent, you know, to maybe sit down and have a few bars of chocolate or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Your thing was, I was definitely more a savory person before my operation, but, you know, I just can't sit down and consume the same amounts of food. But protein is extremely important afterwards. That kind of needs to be your main food source, because protein is obviously very important for the muscles, like our heart is a muscle. So you definitely don't want to see any muscle reduction in your body. So it's very important to keep your high protein diet. So a typical breakfast for me would be something like maybe a protein Weetabix. And I would be able to eat maybe 3/4 of one. And I would have that with protein milk. Or there are some yogurts on the market now that have like 25 grams of protein. So I would have one of those over the course of the morning, maybe. I also would have a protein isolate once a day. So my protein intake needs to be around 80 grams. That's kind of my goal daily. And a protein isolate drink has 20 grams. So things like that really help. Then for lunch, I might have maybe some ham and cheese and a tomato or something like that. I might have a cracker, although I do try to kind of avoid carbs because I would have definitely felt that carbs were an issue for me beforehand. And I would see that maybe as kind of a trigger food for me. So my plate would have been very white, too much potato, too much chips.
A lot of us are guilty of that, aren't we?
I know, absolutely. So I just try not to. And if I really fancy something, then I'll say, right, I'll have it on Saturday. That's kind of how I try to manage it now. I just think it's kind of a healthier way. Or if I really fancied like some popcorn or a bar or something like that, I'll say, okay, fair enough, I'll have it on Saturday now and enjoy it rather than every evening. Because then the kind of good has gone out of it and I find that I wasn't mindful of what I was having. Yeah. I was just kind of, I don't know, is it boredom? Like something to do with your hands on the sofa.
You don't
almost.
Even realize you're doing it, I think, sometimes. And no, it's only when you actually go, oh, hang on, what did I have today? So then dinner, what would you have for dinner? And can you ever go out for a meal?
Yeah, absolutely. So for dinner, I cook the same things that everyone has, like spaghetti bolognese, but I mightn't have the spaghetti. And I can eat maybe 80 to 100 grams. Like I weigh out my food just for awareness. I just want to know, like I'm not restricting myself and saying, oh, you can't, you know, have 120. It's just so I know if it increases that I'm aware. Or I might make a curry or a stew is a good one. And then I often might bring a little bit for lunch the next day. I just find like as a busy person that's not in the home a huge amount, that dinners like that are really handy because I can bring it with me and my husband can bring a bit with him as well or whatever. So very kind of normal on the dinner front. I try to kind of not snack or anything in the evening then if I can avoid it at all. But again, if I'm hungry, I'll have yogurt or I'll have whatever. But generally the dinner will fill me and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now I was nervous about going out to eat, and that is something that we, you know, obviously enjoy together as a couple. But what I do, my fear around going out to eat, if I'm honest, was a restaurant being negative or like questioning me as to why I was only able to eat a small amount and feeling the pressure to order a full meal. And they obviously do. They're like, oh, is everything okay? And you're like, yeah, I just can't eat a whole lot. Like, I'm definitely more comfortable with saying that now. But I also am more comfortable with saying, I'm going to share some of his. So I'll say to my husband, look, I'll just have a bit of yours.
Cause like, did the restaurant think you're being really scabby, though, and you won't pay for your own portion? Do they ever think that?
Well, that's what I was worried about. And then I just think, do you know what? People are going in asking for mocha chocolatas with no fat skim line on almond and da da da. And I just think the person that's not eating a whole lot isn't that weird after all. So that's kind of how I justify it.
Who cares? I know.
That,
yeah. Who cares?
You know, they have to be getting a lot weirder requests than like an extra spoon, you know? So, but I'll often maybe get a starter or something along those lines. And particularly when I'm eating out with the group now, you know, I just kind of say, look, you guys know the story here. And they're just like, oh, no one cares. Eat what you want. Like, if you don't want to eat, don't eat. If you want to eat, fine. If you want a bit of mine, that's great. You know, and I do, I'm very lucky that I have a really supportive network. And when I pitched up to my family and said, look, this is what I want to do, they were just like, look, you know, you've obviously researched it. And if that's what's going to make you happy, do it. Just do what's going to make you happy. And my husband's the very same. He literally has been whittling down because there's been, you know, none of the kind of calorific stuff in the house. And in the initial stages, when I could eat very little, he pretty much ate the same things that I did. And, you know, I'm so lucky. I have a really supportive network. In work, it's the same. The girls are really, really good and they totally get it. And even online, I am really lucky that we're all just such a good community there.
Samantha, what are the risks now involved in a gastric surgery as well? Because we're talking about it all went really well for you and you're delighted and you're down 11 stone in like 6-7 months, which is incredible. Are there risks involved and did you worry about that?
So the risk involved was explained to me if you're looking at like percentages, let's say. So they're just looking from a medical perspective. And the risk is the same as having a gallbladder surgery. And I've had my gallbladder out and I survived.
Yeah,
so I just
too,
thought, you know what, I'm going to chance this as well. And to be honest with you, once you get to the stage where you make the decision that this is something that you want to do, you know, you're willing to go to drastic measures. You're fed up. You've had enough. You've had enough about worrying, are you going to fit in the booth when you go into the restaurant? You've had enough about the anxiety around flying because you have to ask for the seatbelt extension. You've had enough about going to the wedding and worrying that it's going to be a super bougie wooden chair that mightn't hold you. You know, that you can't get the there's so many anxieties around being so overweight that no one talks about.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because somebody was in the store with me recently, and because I get to see loads of people going for surgery there, and she said, couldn't we just sit down and write a book about the indignities of obesity?
I bet you avoided the camera all the time. You probably hid behind a handbag and that kind of thing.
We're so on social media with the business that I didn't have that choice, but I know my angle. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I always kept my camera high and all of that kind of thing. But, you know, I've always been a confident person. And even at my heaviest, I was still confident and I still felt that I could stand in with girls and that was all fine. But I think then it just comes to a point where you're just kind of accepting it. And you know that it's not okay. And you know that you don't feel okay about it. But I had no choice. I had a new business and I had to make it work. Mm. You know, so I definitely was comfortable with the camera and social media, and I was on social media daily and stuff like that. But now I'm able to confidently stand out in a picture on my own, and I don't have to worry that it needs to be taken from a height. You know, if it's taken at a normal level, I'm totally comfortable with that. Or if I'm in the back of a video and see myself after, I'm not completely cringing. And, you know, it definitely changes. There's no doubt about that.
How do you make sure now, Samantha, that you don't continue losing weight?
Your body will decide after kind of 12 months that that's your comfortable spot. My projection with the hospital, their projection for me was 7 stone. And based on that, they would deem that medically a success. Because at that point, I would have cut my risk of heart disease and cancer to that of somebody who was of healthy weight or healthy BMI. And when they initially told me that, I did feel disappointed because I felt like I would need to lose more. But they said, look, BMI is not for somebody like you who has a weight problem. And once your risk is the same as somebody else who doesn't have a weight problem, that's medically a success for us. So it's a difficult headspace to be in, because once you get to 7 stone, you're panicking and you're wondering, is this going to be it for me? And I wanted more. And to be honest, Trina, I would love another 2 stone. And I hate saying that out loud in case I can't achieve it. But they say that your weight loss will be good up to 6 months. And then from 6 to 12 months, it becomes difficult. And after 12 months, it's kind of done. So your body will know when it's time and it'll readjust and it'll just kind of maintain there. But also you'll get to a stage where your stomach size will increase a little bit and you'll be able to consume more calories. And then you'll be at a stage where, I suppose, if you weren't watching, you probably would consume a bit more. It's important to say that this isn't a success for everybody. You know, maybe some people aren't in the right headspace, or maybe they are snacking and things like that. There's definitely ways to trick it and to not maintain it. I definitely, if I felt I needed it at any point, I would go and get counselling or avail of the services that I felt maybe might help me. But thankfully, I really worked on the headspace piece beforehand. And if I find that I'm going down a bad road, like at Christmas time, you know, it's difficult because the celebrations are sitting in work, or there's other temptations around. And I know that I can have those things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just need to say, no, look, have the lunch first. And then if you fancy it after, okay, have one. But I know once I have my lunch, I'll be stuffed. You know, I will be full and satisfied. And then I just have to say to myself, okay, I can't go back there, you know.
Well, Samantha, if anybody wants to have a look at your Instagram, it really is incredible. The stories there, the Instagram is Samantha King King Hair. And I know we've got more to talk about. We want to talk about things like hair loss, which can be associated with surgery. So will you come back on the show next week and we'll talk about that?
Absolutely, Trina. Thank you so much for having me on. I look forward to that.
Oh, brilliant. You're very good. And congratulations on your amazing weight loss. You're looking incredible. This is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.